Bob at our courtside tip-off presented by Standard TV and Appliance. Blazers forward Luke Babbitt going to join us live from the road. He will call in from Salt Lake City in about 15 minutes, and then we will talk about some developing stories from the NBA with Sean Devaney of the Sporting News. He does a tremendous job for the Sporting News, and of course we have the breaking news about Meta World Peace and his suspension. We'll give you the details on that, but we are joined live in studio by a very special guest. It is Jeremy McLaughlin from The Wildlife. You've got a brand new season premiering later this week, right?
Season 3 this Friday, yeah.
And this is, oh, by the way, the, let me get this a second, the Emmy-nominated Wildlife. Let's just get rid of the formality. We'll just give you the award right now.
Right.
Congratulations on the nomination.
A taste of things to come right here.
Absolutely. Give me the smile. What do you have planned for Season 3? Give us a little bit of a tease.
Season 3 is a lot more geocaching, a lot more charity stuff. Every single episode is going to be started off with a charity. It's going to send me off on a series of adventures, and then it's going to end with me returning to said charity and giving them goods, awards, prizes. And we really stepped it up for this season. A lot more danger, a lot more crazy terrain. And this, episode 1 is definitely going to be insane.
Geo, you said geo something. What?
Geocaching.
Help me with that, geocaching. I want to get a little education here.
Geocaching, it's a GPS, it's like a GPS treasure hunt.
Okay.
You program the coordinates, it tells you where to go, how far it is, and then you just try and follow this thing through woods, cliffs, oceans, whatever it is, to get to your checkpoint.
Oh, that's big time.
Now, yeah. It seems like they always have you trying to do crazy stuff. I mean, it is the wildlife, but eating
exactly.
Crazy. I mean, are you eating like tarantulas this season or spiders or snails or what do you eat?
Not as much. Oh. No. I mean, if I'm, you know, the cameras are stopped down, I'm hungry and see a worm. Why not? You know, why not? Tasty little snack, but not really.
All right. Well, it's great to have you in studio hanging out with us. And again, we'll encourage everybody to check out The Wildlife Season 3 premiering this Friday night at 9 p.m. right here on Comcast Sportsnet. Jeremy, thanks for coming in tonight. Good luck with the third season and good luck on the Emmy hunt as well.
Thank you
all
very
right,
much.
We'll take the break. We'll come back with more inside right after this. Stay with us here on Comcast Sportsnet.
Felton lob to Hixon, and he jams it home. Yeah, Hixon runs the break. Batum right side, and he jams.
Well, they got to get it in. They do to Matthews. Wesley's had a great second half.
Step back for the lead. Five.
Morris trying to pack it over to Thabeet, and Thabeet races it out of bounds.
Welcome in to Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power, as we come to you live from our Rose Garden studios. Jay Allen along with former Trailblazer Michael Holton. We are here for the next hour talking Blazers, talking NBA, and there are some hot topics to discuss regarding not only the Trailblazers but also the association. Just some breaking news coming in the last couple of hours. We'll be joined live by Trailblazers forward Luke Babbitt. He's going to call in from the road where the Blazers are now spending some quality time in Salt Lake City the next couple of days. If that's possible. You kind of gave me a look there. You got something against Salt Lake City?
No, but quality time, when you have 2 days before your last game and you're on the road, the quality of that, it goes down a little bit.
Some would say it's rough enough to spend time in Salt Lake City. Some would say that. I mean, you and I, we wouldn't be of that persuasion. But some people would say, hey, you don't want to spend any more time than you have to in Salt Lake City, let alone 2 days leading up to the regular season finale of what has turned into, you know, a long stretch here for the Blazers to end the season.
Yeah, when you could be in Los Angeles.
Or Hawaii, or on the golf course somewhere. But the Blazers are in Salt Lake City, and they will take on the Jazz Thursday night to wrap up the regular season in a game that could be very, very important for the Jazz. And, of course, Caleb Canales and the Blazers want to end the season on a high note as they go into what is one of the more important off seasons for this Trailblazers franchise, really in team history. A lot of big decisions will be made this summer, Michael.
Yeah, it's interesting when you try to fast forward to next year's training camp and what the roster would look like. And the coach and the general manager. I mean, there's just a number of moving pieces right now.
Absolutely. Of course, the NBA draft lottery is coming up May 30th and the draft on June 28th. And you would think that a GM and a coach would be in place sometime in the next month or two. No official time frame has been set by team officials. But a lot of big decisions. And then, of course, oh, by the way, $15 to $20 million in salary cap room that you'll have to spend. Potentially a couple of lottery picks as well. So it's going to be a fun action-packed summer around here in Rip City. And we'll talk to Luke Babbitt just about his play to this point of the season, what he wants to work on this summer. Of course, he'll be a part of the Blazers Summer League team in Las Vegas in July. Sean Devaney of the Sporting News will join us at 6:35. And really the big headline from the NBA just coming down in the last couple of hours, the NBA Commissioner David Stern has suspended Lakers forward Meta World Peace for 7 games for that elbow to the side of James Harden's head. That happened in the second quarter of the Lakers' double overtime victory over the Thunder on Sunday afternoon in Los Angeles. And, you know, it's a big debate now. Was this enough of a punishment, enough discipline for Arteta? Well, I say Arteta, but Meta World Peace. Whether you look at this incident isolated or, I mean, I think you have to take his history and his prior offenses into consideration. Is 7 games enough?
Well, I think it is, because 7 games is consistent, I think, with physical altercations in the game of basketball. And I think I want to disagree agreeably with you about taking the body of work into consideration. I mean, if you punish Meta World Peace today and you allow what happened in Detroit to influence the decision, well, then, you know, he hasn't paid his debt to society. I mean, he's been kind of without major infractions since then. So I think at some point the clock kind of starts over. So, you know, while it's awful, it's terrible, there's no place for it in basketball, and I feel awful about it, not just for James Harden. I feel bad about it for Meta World Peace as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to be careful overreacting.
Yeah, and I think you, with a guy like World Peace, you have to take his previous transgressions into account. And, you know, and obviously we know what he did in the stands at the Palace several years back. He's had some other, you know, off the court scrapes that he's been suspended for as well. I thought the suspension would be at least double digits. I mean, I didn't think it would be 50 games, but I thought it would be somewhere between 10 and 15. And, you know, James Harden, who knows how long he's going to be on the shelf. And if the Thunder don't have him going into the first round of the postseason, that's a big loss for Oklahoma City.
No, it's a bad situation, Jay, and I don't want to act like I'm minimizing
no,
it.
No,
you know, because, you know, I look at that situation, and James Harden was defenseless in that situation. It wasn't like they had an altercation and they were both able to defend themselves and got into a fight. That's one thing. When you hit somebody that's defenseless, that's another set of circumstances. That's a different filter to look at it through, because that's a threat to everybody in the game. If you can dress up to play an NBA basketball game and you're at risk of getting hit in a position where you're defenseless, that's something that I'm sure the commissioner had to take into consideration as well.
And I know it's hard to judge intent, and it's hard to judge whether a guy is sincere when he comes out and apologizes. I thought World Peace's apology left something to be desired on Sunday after that game. I don't think I'm alone in feeling that. You know, and to say that, oh, he didn't realize Harden was there, I mean, because there was some contact as World Peace jammed that ball home. And I think he had to know that there was a player in the vicinity. And, you know, his emotions got the better of him. We understand that. But this is going to be talked about and debated for a long time. Now, we talk about what a loss it would be potentially if Harden doesn't return for the first few games. And he's missing tonight's game against Sacramento for Oklahoma City. And he might be ready to go for the playoffs. We don't know. But World Peace, I'm such in the habit of saying that. it's just hard for me to say World Peace when we're talking about a guy being suspended and in trouble. But the Lakers, no doubt, are going to miss him for the first 6 games of their playoff run, or if they don't last that long, then the first few games of next season.
Yeah, I think there's two things happening here, Jay. There's the altercation, and there's the professionalism, and there's the profession. And it's being dealt with on that level. Mm-hmm. The suspension in 7 games times 166 of his salary, or however they compute it, is a lot of money, mm-hmm. first of all. Secondly, I mean, Ron Artest is a person that has public battles, or it's public about his battles, mm-hmm. with mental health issues. Mm-hmm. And so when I say I think there's two victims in this, I'm looking at Meta World Peace, and I'm asking the question of, is he chemically balanced to function in that capacity? And if not, then he's a victim of not receiving the right medical attention to address the situation. Because when I watched that, and we've all seen it numerous times, Meta World Peace normalized what he did. When he struck James Harden, he continued to proceed up to court as if nothing had happened.
Because if it's an accident, don't you stop and look at the guy and try to help or make sure he's okay? I mean,
no, he normalized it. And even when he was dealing with the ref and talking to other people about it, at no point in the heat of the battle did he have a sense of realism. about what had occurred. And that stood out to me. And I have a concern about that in addition to the concern for the game and the concern for James Harden. I'm looking at Meta World Peace and I'm questioning just how sound is it.
Yeah, and I think that's a valid concern. And believe me, I'm very sensitive to the mental health aspect of it. As you know, my wife Mandy is a therapist. That's what she does for a living. You know, she tries to help people who are having a rough go of it in life. And so I'm very sensitive to that. I'm not sure that though, comes into play with this situation. I mean, if the guy is that imbalanced up here and he's a danger to other people, should he be on the court? To me, that's another case for, you know, okay, take him away from the game and get him the help that he needs then.
Well, and that's what I'm trying to speak to. I'm trying to introduce that, not minimize what occurred because it has to be dealt with the way it was dealt with. But I think there's also a level of concern I have along those lines as well.
All right, we'll take the break. We'll be talking about this throughout the show. If you'd like to chime in, we'd love to hear from you. You can hit us up on Twitter, hashtag TV Courtside. We'd love to get your tweets on the Meta World Peace suspension. 7 games, is it enough? Is it too many? Where do you fall on that? Hashtag TV Courtside, and you can also email us courtside@trailblazers.com. We'll take the break when we come back. Luke Babbitt joins us live from Salt Lake City. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Trailblazers Courtside continues, and some of your tweets are coming in. Hashtag TB Courtside. If you have questions about the Blazers or you want to weigh in on the Meta World Peace suspension, he will be on the pine for 7 games after the elbow to the side of James Harden's head. NBA Commissioner David Stern meeting out that punishment in the last hour or two. So if you'd like to weigh in on that, again, hashtag TB Courtside, and you can hit us up on email courtside@trailblazers.com. Right now, it's a pleasure to be joined live by Trailblazers forward Luke Babbitt. He is with the rest of the Trailblazers in Salt Lake City and kind enough to give us a few minutes on an off night in Salt Lake. Luke, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, guys. How you doing?
Hey, we're doing very, very good. When did you guys get in? You spent the night last night in San Antonio, right?
Yeah, we enjoyed some good weather in San Antonio and got in this afternoon into Utah.
Was it snowing there in Utah or what?
No, not quite. It's nice here too, so it's a win-win either way.
Now, I know it was a rough one last night. San Antonio obviously playing some very, very good basketball right now, and, you know, I think they have kind of thrust themselves into the whole championship picture with their play over the last month or two. They've been able to stay healthy, and they obviously are on the 8-game winning streak. But how do you feel you have performed, say, over the last month or two of the season? I was just looking at your numbers here. You're averaging about 5 points a ball game. You've gotten some opportunities in the starting lineup. But how do you feel you've improved from season one to season two?
I think there's been a big difference from my rookie year. You know, the big thing for me is just to come out and be aggressive, try to make shots. You know, that's why I'm out there. And I think I've shot the ball pretty well this year. So when I get these big opportunities to start and play against these good teams, you know, I'm really working on other parts of my game. And so when you go against the Spurs, that's a tough task. But, you know, it's a valuable lesson for all of us young guys.
You know, Luke, when you look at playing more and getting a chance to start, and you're speaking to your offense and knocking shots down and understanding, you know, probably spacing and how to get shots and get more shots, you know, that's a great thing. What's been your biggest observation about the league in general? Because you can learn while you watch and you focus on what you're doing while you play. But in terms of the league in general, what's been your biggest observation?
I think probably one big thing is just, you know, the nice thing is if you have an off night or, you know, you don't shoot the ball well one night, you're always able to come back, you know, the next night or in 2 nights and do it all over again. So it's nice in that aspect. You develop a little rhythm when you get some consistent minutes and playing time. And so I've been able to get that and get a little comfortable out there. And really, I'm taking similar shots every night. That's a big thing about the NBA too, is you're going to do similar things every night. It's just a matter of being consistent and doing it well.
You know, you shot, and again, you only played 24 games last season, but you shot 19% roughly from three-point range. This year, so far in 39 games, including three starts, you're shooting 46% from three-point range. Obviously, a bigger body of work this season, but, you know, you were regarded as probably the best shooter to come out of the draft a couple of years ago. But what do you attribute that about 2.5 times percentage-wise jump in your three-point shooting?
Yeah. I'd like to think that rookie year was just, an anomaly or something random. But, I have felt more comfortable out there. I'm shooting the ball, fairly confidently now, and just knowing where my shots are going to come and knowing that, I can knock a bunch of shots down. And that's just what I'm trying to do. And, guys are finding me, and we've got a couple sets in for me to shoot. So, I'm just trying to do what I was brought here to do, like you said, and that's knockdown shots.
Well, Luke, the season's winding down. You guys have one more game. What's on your short list of things to work on in the offseason?
I'm guessing I'll probably do summer league. So, I'll work out and train for that in these next couple months, and then summer league's in July, and then get a couple months before training camp. So I really just want to work on defensively, continuing to improve in that aspect. Work on, putting on some muscle, just really all aspects of my game, putting the ball on the floor and, passing and creating shots off the dribble, really everything.
Blazers forward Luke Babbitt with us for just a few more minutes here on Trailblazers courtside. Luke, forget the record for a second, but how much of a drain has this season been for you, from a physical standpoint, a mental standpoint? I mean, 66 games, and it seems like it's gone by like that, but how tough has it been from those perspectives? Forget the wins and losses for a second.
Yeah. I mean, it's been tough. I think, there's been a lot of change this year. For me, there's been a ton of change. I came in to this year, and was competing for some playing time, and then I was, in the D League for a little while, and then brought back up, and then the coaching change and some trades, and, then I started playing. So there's been a lot of change for everybody. Everyone's kind of had to go with it on the fly, but it's just experience. Obviously, we're not going to make the playoffs or anything this year, so this is all building for next year, and we're trying to really focus on that and take some learning experiences into next year so we can not feel like this again.
Hey, Luke, you talked a little bit about what you need to do kind of to take that next step in your career, what you'll be working on this offseason. But as far as the team in general, and I know you're not the GM, you're not the coach, but what do you think the team needs? What needs to be addressed in the offseason just to kind of make that next step and get back in the playoff hunt next year at this time?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's, I think when healthy, we're still a very good team. You get LaMarcus back, and we get healthy. We're still in pretty good shape, I feel like. For whatever reason, we lost a lot of games and kind of fell out of the playoff race this year. But I think everyone can probably agree we're still a better team than that. So I think we're just a couple little things, little tweaks away from being a good team. And I'm sure that they'll look to make some moves, and I'm just hoping to be a part of that and, be a contributor going forward on a playoff team.
Luke, let's talk about this season a little bit. I mean, obviously with all the changes and different people playing different nights, not knowing who was going to sit, who was going to play, who was going to be available, or who was healthy, the young guys got to play a lot of minutes. But at the end of the day, there were a lot of different lineups and trying to put together a cohesive unit on the floor. When that happens, I want to ask you, do you think it has the biggest challenge offensively or defensively when you don't have a chance for certain lineups to gel?
That's a tough question because, it affects both. I mean, defensively, rotating, switching, communication-wise, you get comfortable as a defensive unit out on the court. So, going against a team like the Spurs last night when we've got a young lineup and new pieces and not really much practice time together, it's tough to guard a team like that when they're clicking offensively. When we do one thing defensively, they're just hitting the counter and really, can make us look bad. So, That we gave up a lot of points. So defensively, it's a struggle with new pieces. And then offensively, you know, you can get out of rhythm. Rhythm is such a big part of the offense, and timing, and obviously that's affected when you've got new pieces. So it's really a challenge both ways. But the important thing is just to play hard and battle through it and be professional. And you know, and I think for the most part we've done that.
Hey, Luke, last thing we'll let you go. What's it been like playing for Caleb over the last month or so of the season? Have you been able to match him in the energy department? I know he's a high-energy, high-passion guy.
We have to, yeah. He brings that every night. He expects it from us. You know, he's a lot's been said about him, so I'm not going to repeat everything. But, no, he's a great young coach, and definitely lucky. We're all lucky to play for him and learn from him, and hopefully, you know, we can take this experience that he's given us young guys and benefit from it.
All right, Luke, we'll let you go. Thanks so much for the time tonight. Now, nothing too crazy the next couple of off days in Salt Lake City, okay?
All right, yeah, we got to get this last win.
Absolutely. All right, we'll look forward to talking to you probably on Friday when everybody clears out their lockers and has their exit interviews. Luke Babbitt joining us live from Salt Lake City, where the Blazers will take on the Jazz on Thursday night to close out the regular season. 65 down, one to go. All right, we'll take the break. When we come back, we'll get to some of your tweets, hashtag TB Courtside. If you have questions about the Trailblazers, Michael is the expert. We have a Trailblazers and an NBA expert right here. Or if you want to weigh in on the Meta World Peace suspension, is 7 games enough for what World Peace did to James Harden? Hashtag TB Courtside. Back after this. Trailblazers Courtside continues, presented by Pacific Power. Jay Allen, Michael Holton. Great to have Luke Babbitt on the show a few minutes ago. And we will be joined live by Sean Devaney of the Sporting News in our next segment. We'll get to some of your tweets in just a second, talking about the Blazers and also about the 7-game suspension for Meta World Peace. Hashtag TB Courtside. If you'd like to connect with us on Twitter, you can follow Michael at MDH Hoops, and he is just a tweeting fool right now.
Well, I sent a tweet out. I don't tweet a lot, but I'm feeling it tonight.
Absolutely. People are responding, so we'll get to some of those. You can follow me at PDXJ, PDXJAY. And fun to talk to Luke. And, I mean, you look at his numbers, and again, as I mentioned during the interview, obviously he's getting a lot more opportunity this season, but that three-point percentage, about 46% right now among the league leaders.
And he's made the most of his opportunity. I like listening to Luke because his basketball IQ is high. I've never had a basketball conversation with him. He understands the game offensively and defensively, what's working, what the challenges are. That means that in the offseason, he's going to have a chance to really make some significant strides.
Is the next step for him, I mean, the offense, I mean, he's got the shooting part of it down. And we've seen him kind of add some more moves, go to the basket a little bit more. And then I would think the biggest growth area for him probably is on the defensive end of the court, right?
It's on the defensive end, being able to guard his position. And then it's also understanding how to use the dribble and have counter moves. Because what's going to happen, once you get a body of work in the NBA, they're going to stop letting him be a standout.
All right, let's check out some of the tweets that are coming in. Again, hashtag TB Courtside, or you can find Michael at MDH Hoops. I'm at PDXJ. But let's see, Cassandra, she responded, I believe, to your tweet, Michael, and she said the suspension is not long enough given his past transgressions. He's getting beneficial big market treatment. David says, if you or I did what Meta World Peace did, we would be fired on the spot. He should be gone for the entire playoffs and 20 games next season. I'm not sure if it should be that much, but as I mentioned earlier, I mean, I thought it would be double digits. I thought it would be 10 to 15. You thought it was about right.
Yeah, 10 to 15 is a lot.
Well, have you seen the video?
boy,
have you seen his rap sheet?
I think the video should come with a disclaimer or whatever saying that, you know, this should be uncomfortable for some viewers, you know, because it is a violent piece of film.
Well, yeah, and I think that goes to the point for some people who would say that maybe he should have been disciplined. And I guess I'm one of the guys that says you have to take the past into account. I mean, past behavior is a great predictor of what you're going to do in the future. Okay. Now, some people do change. I understand that. And for a while, he was able to keep his nose clean. But the old Ron Artest resurfaced, unfortunately, on Sunday.
So basically what you're saying is that he was on probation.
I think when you go into the stands and fight a fan, you're probably always going to be on probation
the rest,
of your career.
Wow, you can never pay. You can never get a clean slate again.
I don't know if something like that ever fully goes away. But the thing is, that wasn't the only incident. I mean, he's had other problems on the court. I believe he had the off-the-court issue with the domestic violence situation that he got suspended for. So to me, there's been a pattern of behavior there. And, yeah, he had kept his nose clean for a while, and then all of a sudden we saw the old Ron Artest. It wasn't Meta World Peace. There was nothing peaceful about it. It was Ron Artest.
So I think a part of this suspension should include an evaluation of how fit he is to return.
Mm-hmm. Like from a psychological standpoint?
Oh, I'll just say medical, because I saw a guy that wasn't healthy.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. And again, James Harden, I think it's important when we're talking about Meta World Peace to continue to remind people that James Harden, he's missing a game tonight because he has a brain injury thanks to Meta World Peace. I mean, he has a concussion, and he hasn't been cleared to play, and so he's now missing the Thunder game against the Kings tonight.
That's pretty serious.
All right, we'll take the break. We would love to continue to get your tweets, hashtag TV Courtside, whether it be about the Blazers or the 7-game suspension for Meta World Peace. Again, hashtag TV Courtside. You can also email us if you prefer that old, outdated technology of email, courtside@trailblazers.com. Sean Devaney of the Sporting News will be live with us next right here on Trailblazers Courtside. All right, we are back here on Trailblazers Courtside. Jay Allen and Michael Holton. And if you're watching on Comcast Sportsnet, you saw the view there of the overcast gray skies outside. Is it raining now outside the Rose Garden? Oh, okay, because what? We had 85 degrees the last 2 days, and now overcast and about 55 today for a high. Maybe it got to 60 where you live and hang out in balmy Lake Oswego.
I don't live in Lake Oswego.
Well, your office is basically. All right, we have a very important guest waiting for us, Sean Devaney of the Sporting News, and he's been kind enough to call in from the Heat-Celtics game in Boston. Sean, thanks for coming on. I know it's halftime there in an offensive shootout, right?
Yeah, it's been pretty pathetic here. You knew coming in when they weren't going to play LeBron and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, Kevin Garnett, Rajon Rondo. This is almost like a sum of beat game at this point. 34-28 at halftime.
Yeah, and again, so Miami's just pretty much riding off the whole idea of getting the top seed. They're done with that?
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be something that they're pushing for. Just like the Celtics, they've got a chance to keep the battle interesting for home court advantage should they play or when they play Atlanta in the first round of the playoffs. So neither team seems to be taking that very seriously at this point, though, and I think that they both consider themselves capable of going on the road and winning in the playoffs. So, not a huge battle here. Certainly would have circled this game, I think, if you looked before the season started, but not much to write home about, as it turns out.
Hey, Sean, I know we want to talk to you about this whole thing going on with Billy Hunter and Derek Fisher, but the breaking news from the NBA the last couple hours, Commissioner David Stern has suspended Meta World Peace for 7 games for elbowing James Harden in the head on Sunday. What did you think about the 7-game suspension? Was it enough or just right?
Yeah, I thought it was going to be between 5 and 10 games, and, so I think they got it just about right. I think 10 games would probably have been maybe a little bit much, but I certainly wouldn't have argued that. 5 games would have been too little. So yeah, I think 7 is just about right. And considering the severity of that elbow and the history of Meta World Peace / Ron Artest, I think you have to take those things in consideration. And 7 games is probably fair.
When you saw that happen, I don't know if you saw it in real time. I know I did. Did you feel like it was an accident? Did you feel like it was premeditated? Or did you feel like it was just more the emotion of the excitement of the play?
Yeah, I think when you watched it at first, certainly, I think most of us had the reaction of, well, wait a minute, was he just celebrating the dunk? Was he, did he even know that somebody was standing there behind him? And when you watch it on replay, I think you got a better look at he had to know that somebody was there. Harden had made contact with him. So he obviously knew somebody was there, and he was obviously throwing an elbow, you know, with some bad intent behind it. I don't think he knew that Harden's head was going to be right there. I really don't. And certainly if that elbow had hit Harden in the shoulder, then we might be looking at a 1 or 2 game suspension. I think that, you know, I don't think it was premeditated in terms of I'm going to hit this guy in the head. I think it was, though, premeditated in terms of I feel a guy on me and I'm gonna throw an elbow at him. You know, so the 7 games is probably fair in that respect.
Sean, I want to ask you a question. I think the NBA has done a really good job policing the game and cleaning the game up in terms of physical play. And I say that in the context of going back to the Lakers-Celtics breakaway, hard foul, no layup rule type basketball to where it is today. But I still think that there's a need to respond to physical play. Now, I'm not saying that OKC should have retaliated, but I thought that OKC's response was lacking somewhat for the significance of what occurred to one of their teammates.
Yeah, I you know, there's definitely a fine line to be walked there, right? You know, that if you go too far and you know, you retaliate, well, then you're looking at getting one of your guys suspended, and does that really solve anything? And you know, that's definitely something that the NBA has tried to take out of the game, and you saw it. Now, having said that, I think that's probably a complaint we all have about Oklahoma City and about whether they can win a championship. Is do they have that sort of grit, that fortitude, that toughness to be sort of the team with the killer instinct, I guess is the best way to put it. You know, we haven't always seen that from them, and whether they'll be able to become that team here in the playoffs, I think that's a fair question, and that goes to your point as far as whether they should have responded to what happened to James Harden.
Sean Devaney of the Sporting News with us for a few more minutes as he joins us live from that Celtics Heat game in Boston. Sean, just one more question on that topic. How does the loss of world peace affect the Lakers going into the postseason? And again, if the standings stay the way they are now, the Lakers would have the Nuggets in the first round in the 3-6 matchup. How does it affect the Lakers? And also, how does, you know, Oklahoma City not having Harden potentially in a first-round playoff series affect them?
Well, yeah, you know, certainly if Harden is injured for any length of time, then that'll be a real blow. He's been so terrific off the bench. From what I understand, he's gone through some of the first steps in the concussion protocol, and so far so good. So he should be back, if not in time for the playoffs, and certainly very early into the playoffs. So I think he'll be okay as far as that's concerned. But, you know, losing world peace is going to be tough for the Lakers here because he's been playing so well. I mean, that was something that, you know, in the beginning part of the season, they weren't really counting on much from him. But over the last 10 games or so, he'd averaged about 16 points, was shooting 50%. You know, all of a sudden, if you're Mike Brown, you're thinking, okay, this is a guy I can start relying on a little bit going into the postseason. And you know, to all of a sudden be without him, and now to have to face the possibility of him trying to come back cold, even when he does come back, you know, it could be 10 days or 2 weeks or so before he plays again. You know, that could be something that that all of a sudden now you've got a starter that you really don't know you know, what to expect from.
Hey, Sean, let me ask you about this mess at the top of the Players Association. The executive committee of the union has now unanimously given Derek Fisher, the president of the union, a no-confidence vote. Where is this headed? I know you covered the lockout extensively last fall and into the winter before it was decided there in November and into December. But what is at the root of all this? I know now there's a report that Hunter has been using union finances, union dollars maybe for his own personal gain. Where is all this headed?
Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that the union would have liked to have kept under wraps. But, you know, when you get sort of a power struggle here, this is what results. And, you know, it's funny because talking to some players and talking to some agents, you know, there's general dissatisfaction with both Fisher and Hunter. And I think if players really get together and have their say on this, then both of them will be gone. Hunter, though, has a contract, so he would have to step away and Fisher would have to be voted out. So it's going to be complicated as far as how all this plays out, because you know, there isn't a ready-made mechanism. And certainly all these players right now, they've got enough on their minds to where you know, the drama between Fisher and Hunter isn't foremost in their mind. So this is going to take some time to play out, and you know, I think that really it could wind up with both of them gone.
Did this infighting affect the lockout? You know, how long it went? Would it have maybe not as lasted as long if these guys were getting along? You know, I mean, did it have an effect on the resolution of the lockout?
Yeah, it did. It had effect on the length of the lockout, because Billy Hunter was willing to wait longer than Derek Fisher was. Fisher was much more open and receptive to the, if you remember, the BRI deal, that Billy Hunter didn't want to go below 52%. Fisher was willing to negotiate at 50% as early as October. And, had Billy Hunter been on board with that, we might have had this thing ended by the end of October, which obviously would have been a much different scenario for the league. So, it definitely did affect that. Having said that, you know, the owner's side was just as fractured. So that was sort of something that was ongoing that I wrote about a couple times, that was frustrating to watch, because you had sort of a fracture in the union where you had two factions there, and then you had a fracture in the owners where you had two factions there. So you almost had four factions trying to negotiate, and that's why it was so difficult to get something done.
Sean, when you look at I'm looking at your story and the comments about Hunter and his family and their role in various roles, and the economics that are applied to the different roles that family members have, particularly on the legal side. At first glance, it looks as though if the lockout is protracted and there's more legal services required, the ability for family members to build a players association increases. And I guess my question is, given that as the scenario, isn't that a potential conflict of interest?
You got it. I mean, that's exactly right. Yeah. You know, when you've got things like that going on, and then you've got these accusations against Derek Fisher about him, you know, trying to butter up the league so that he could be in a better position to get a job when he retires, you know, that you add it all together and you've got conflicts of interest all over the place. You know, when you are trying to run a union that way and negotiating, you know, the next contract that's going to represent not only the 450 players in the league, but all the players who come into the league in the next 5 or 6 years, you can see why, you know, players and agents are saying, hey, both of these guys should be gone.
Hey, Sean, last thing, we'll let you go. What are you hearing about the Blazers this offseason? Obviously a very big one for this team. They need a GM. They need a coach. They have some needs on the roster they have to address. How do you view the Blazers heading into this offseason?
Well, you know, I just talking to people around the league, I think that most consider that to be a pretty good job, you know, all things considered. You know, I think that when you look at, you know, having the two draft picks, assuming that they're able to hold on to the New Jersey pick, then, you know, that's going to be a huge way to rebuild, because, you know, the lottery is going to be so, so strong, and you'll be able to address so many things. And, of course, you know, then assume you get Aldridge back healthy and you know, you make a decision on Batum. There's pieces there and certainly the draft being among them. And I think any general manager, you know, if you can tell them, hey, you can take this job and have two lottery picks in this draft, I think that makes that a very attractive job. I can't even begin to guess on the coaching front, because I think that they're going to want a GM in place before they address that.
Hey, give me a 15-second answer if you can. What kind of money do you think Batum will command in the open market this offseason?
You know, the big problem is that there's going to be a lot of money out there. You know, there's a lot of teams that created cap space for this summer thinking that there were going to be Chris Paul and Dwight Howard, and they're not there. So teams are going to overpay. I would look for him to get something in the range of, you know, 4 years and about $36, $37 million, somewhere in that range.
All right. Hey, Sean, we appreciate it. We enjoy reading you online at sportingnews.com. The Twitter is @SeanDevaney. Thanks so much. We'll let you get back to that Celtics Heat game. It looks like a good one.
You're going to make me get back to that Celtics game.
Thanks, Sean. We'll catch up with you soon. Sean Devaney of the Sporting News, again, at Sean Devaney on Twitter. We'll take the break. We'll come back and look at some more of your tweets, hashtag TV Courtside, as we continue right here on Trailblazers Courtside. Stay with us. We're back here on Trailblazers Courtside.
Airball.
It is our, I've made it two out of three, our courtside shootout here. As we are back on Comcast Sportsnet, the Trailblazers Radio Network, and streaming live on trailblazers.com. That was your miss. That
finger roll.
Back,
tribute
oh,
to George
over the
Thurman.
Back of the backboard. As always, we want to thank the crew, a cast of thousands tonight, putting the show together. Adam Willis is our producer on the TV side. And I don't know if you know this, but Adam's mom was a big fan of Trailblazers Courtside. She watches
right?
or listens religiously every week.
Wow. Okay.
So hello to Adam's
that.
Mom. Our director is Phil Beard. Video, Greg St. Martin. Graphics tonight provided by Kim Anderson. Audio by Corey Griffin. The show sounds, this might be the best sounding show ever, at least in our headsets, Corey. So we appreciate that. Cameras by Buck and Curry. Engineering by Bruce Williams. Our radio producer is the captain, Rich Patterson. There he is on the captain's cam. And, oh,
he's
look at that shirt.
He's rocking the Michael Holton Basketball Academy shirt.
Did you buy that on the website, Cap? Michael Holton Basketball or HoltonBasketball.com?
Cap's a camper.
Oh, okay. He's still learning how to dribble, huh? And so thanks, Cap, for putting the show together once again tonight. And also our online coordinator, Justin Moulter, helping us out with the streaming, the Facebooking, the tweeting, all that good stuff. Justin, we could not do the show without you. On the scoreboard right now, we had Sean Devaney on from that Boston-Miami game. The Heat lead the Celtics 46-42 with 4 minutes to go in the third. 46-42.
That's awful.
That's horrible. A lot of guys resting for both teams. The Hawks on top of the Clippers, 103-96. The Kings leading the Thunder without James Harden for Oklahoma City, 86-82 through three quarters. Later on, the Hornets will take on the Warriors down in Oakland. We will take our final timeout. When we return, we'll get to a couple of more of your tweets, and we'll ask Michael what he wants to see from the Blazers on Thursday night in the season finale against the Utah Jazz. Back after this. All right, back here on Trailblazers Courtside, our final show for the regular season, but the show will continue throughout the summer, and we've got some special things planned for the night of the NBA draft, as always. So we'll be here on Trailblazers Courtside. Wheels, Rice, and Barrett will be back to take you through the offseason, and who knows, maybe we'll make a guest appearance a time or two this summer.
Yeah, well, I want to do that.
Absolutely. We need the summer spending money.
Don't put it like that, Jay.
I'm just being real here. No. All right. The Trailblazers, Thursday night, regular season finale. Utah Jazz, what do you want to see from the Blazers in the last outing of the season?
Well, a win, obviously, but I want to see 25 assists, you know, because I think over the last couple of games, high possession games, high scoring games, but I saw a lot of guys, you know, working to get their own shot. And that's great, but I want to see the team cohesively score a lot of points, and I think that would be reflected in 25-plus assists.
Yeah, and, I mean, all you got to do is look at that film from the loss last night to the Spurs. I mean, 37 assists on 48 made baskets. I mean, that's some unselfish basketball right there.
Yeah, and then the Blazers had, I think, 19 assists.
19 on 37, so okay. A different ratio there. All right, now, going into the off season, not necessarily talking about specific players that should be coming or going, but what are the needs, the areas that maybe need to be addressed?
Well, the first one is style of play. I mean, is the team going to be up-tempo, or is the team going to be more of a deliberate team? And I think personnel comes after you have a style of play.
Style of play comes with a coach, right?
Yeah, well, it comes with the coach, but also comes with LaMarcus Aldridge. Mm-hmm. Is LaMarcus going to be a stretch four? Is he going to be an inside guy, an inside-out guy, or an outside-in guy?
And, of course, you know, you talk about style of play on the offensive end. Defensively, they have to be better as well than they were for the majority of this season. We hear, you know, Caleb Canales, when we're in those huddles, talking about helping the helper. You know, I mean, the weak side defense has to be better. The perimeter defense has to get better. And it will all unfold this offseason and into next season. But they'll wrap up the regular season on Thursday night, 5 o'clock tip-off from Salt Lake City. 4:05, the coverage begins on radio, 4:30 on Comcast Sportsnet. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter throughout the offseason. Season MDH Hoops for Michael, PDXJ for myself, PDXJAY. For Michael Holton, I'm Jay Allen. Thanks for being with us here on Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power. We'll talk to you Thursday night as the Blazers battle the Jazz in Salt Lake City. Have a great night.